My name is Gregory Asner. I am a climate and biodiversity scientist. I'm from the state of Hawaii in the United States. And my background is in conservation science and issues that have to do with climate change and biodiversity preservation.
I was told that you are the first that has worked on illegal deforestation in Amazonia.
That takes me back many years. In 1995, I left Hawaii to go to Brazil for studies. And when I was there, I created the first maps of where the illegal logging was occurring across Brazil, across all of Brazilian Amazonia. And that process was the first time it had been done, and it revealed that places like Chief Dada's territories were under severe threat. And that's 1995 through the years 2005. Those were my years, 95 to 2005, and watching the illegal activity increase. And then I had to go to do other work, and I met Chief Dada here at the Vatican and reconnected my past with his present. He's 39 years old. He's much younger than me. And he is the man in the front line of this problem of Amazonian biodiversity and indigenous rights.
Because also from 2005 and now,
it's worse. Since I departed in 2005 up to 2021, it has become progressively more of a problem, especially for indigenous peoples. So as a scientist, we've been saying for decades that this is a problem, not only for biodiversity and carbon and climate, but also for our indigenous communities that live there.
So Pope Francis usually says that everything is linked.
Yes.
We can speak about deforestation, but in one way we speak about climate change when we speak about deforestation.
That's true. So they are deeply linked. Deforestation in Amazonia is a principal contributor to climate change. The losses of those forests create more greenhouse gases, which warms the atmosphere, which is changing the climate around the planet. But also, at the same time that you lose the forest, you lose the biodiversity, obviously. And then you lose the culture, because the culture is deeply connected to the biodiversity. The culture of the indigenous peoples relies on the biodiversity for their subsistence, for their religious process, for their everything about them, who they are. So you cannot disconnect climate, biodiversity, and indigenous culture in the Amazon or anywhere this occurs on the planet. And I've worked now in 137 countries since then, and I've seen it everywhere the same.
How can it be possible today that there's not a global conscience, a global political conscience?
Now you get to the frustration of a scientist. Because money and politics are dominating, especially in a country like mine, United States, and many other countries, the science, the cultural impact get pushed down, and the voices are not heard. And it's why I came here to see Pope Francis. That's why I accepted the invitation to come.
Do you have any reason to be optimist or not?
I'm optimistic that some of this can be saved. But I have a pessimism in me that we're going to lose too much. We could have done better. So when I'm an old man, I'm going to look back and say, we saved something. We need to save 50% minimum. And there's a reason for that 50%. But I think in hindsight, I will think we could have done more.
Are we aware that there's a real danger for the life of humanity, for the future of human being, simply?
In my work, I travel many countries and I see the full spectrum of realization that this is a critical time. Hearing Pope Francis and the Church and the Laudato Si, I see an understanding that this is immediate. Critical. We have to play a role in improving our conditions across the planet for people and nature. And then I go to other places where it is not even in the dialogue. It's not in the mentality of the people I'm with. there's total disconnect. So when I look at the planet as a whole, I see hot spots of understanding and cold spots of understanding this issue. And I'm trying hard to bring it, all of the information forward, all of the knowledge, but also get to people's hearts about the fact that we have to move on this. And so again, when I got the invitation from the Vatican to come for this day, I thought, well, there's, I think, 2 billion people that are in the Catholic Church. That's an important audience. We need to, it's another way to fill in the gaps, the holes in the knowledge and in the understanding and in reaching people. So that's why I'm here.
So you're saying also that science and faith can work together?
Oh, absolutely. I always think it's funny because you hear about, I guess, the tension between the two. I grew up in a place where both were equally championed, but for different reasons. Faith gives us compass. It gives us understanding. It gives us much more than science will ever give. But science gives something unique. Tools for navigation today, tools for understanding where we are and what we can do to go from A to B. If we don't go to B, then we're going to have more and more problems for ourselves, our environment. So I see one as tools and one as everything else. And science is kind of in a box that way. But in my world in the U.S., I just want to say to you that I have experienced this. People are making the science sound like a belief system, like sound like religion. People will say to me, I don't believe in climate change. I don't believe in climate change. And I say, it's not a belief we're measuring. Belief is over here. This is just tools, measurements. This is very difficult for people to just realize that the science is not in combat with belief. It's a utility. It's a tools. It's a way to navigate forward. And the analogy I make sometimes is when I'm driving down the street at night in my car, turning on the headlights, the lights, it's like the science. It's telling me where to go. But I and something else is telling me where to drive. That's all science is. It's a toolkit. I don't believe that there's a true antagonistic relationship between the two.
And in fact, where do you place Laudato Si encyclical between faith and science? It's not only faith, and it's not exactly science.
It's right. It's bridging the two. Laudato Si is such a unique document, but perspective from the Holy Father. My mind was blown when I read it. I was like, okay, this man understands. His mentality is that the two work together, the belief system, whichever belief system you associate with, it's not something, we cannot ignore the fact that the science is speaking loudly that we have to make change, loudly that we have to change our habits, change the way we're consuming the Earth's resources, change the stress we're putting on ecosystems and biodiversity and the climate. It's really about us taking responsibility for what we've been given, this Earth, and taking care of it.
Can we say that Laudato Si had the words the science didn't have?
It does. The Laudato Si speaks to people in ways that a scientist like me cannot. We're not trained. We don't have the wisdom. Whatever the reason, we just cannot get that point across. And so Pope Francis really gives us a gift in the Laudato Si to communicate where science plays in this, but it's part of a larger responsibility.